Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
National security officials are warning President Biden that another terrorist attack in Kabul, Afghanistan, is likely. The attacks again could be carried out by ISIS-K terrorists. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the Speaker of the House needs to call Congress back into session now. McCarthy criticizing the Biden administration's execution of withdrawing American troops and vulnerable citizens from Afghanistan.
This isn't the tested leadership the president promised. It's a picture of weakness and incompetence.
McCarthy also calling out President Biden for dodging important questions. The California Republican also calling the ISIS-K terrorist attack in Kabul a serious transgression.
Our enemies have taken advantage of this chaotic nature of a withdrawal. And yesterday, they crossed the red line.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
Florida schools can impose mask mandates, a judge ruled, saying Governor Ron DeSantis overstepped his authority in banning mask requirements. This as health officials are pleading with the public in Hawaii to get COVID vaccines to help stop the spread of the disease. Dr. Gerard Aka is with the Queens Medical Center in Honolulu.
What we're speaking about for vaccinations is if Hawaiians can get more vaccinated, then maybe the case rate and infection can get lower. The deaths, the hospitalizations and ER visits with the vaccinations can get to a better place. That's our plea.
Earlier this week, the governor of Hawaii asked that travelers stay away from the state right now while they try to combat rising cases related to the Delta variant. Yesterday, there were 99 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 2 deaths. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot. If you like my radio show, you're going to love my podcast, War Raw. Each podcast, I present my top 10 most outrageous, salacious, and controversial stories of the week. I break down the best of the best raw truth stories for conservatives, libertarians, patriots, taxpayers, Trumpers, and deplorables. Anyone who appreciates God, guns, gold, and tax cuts will stand up and cheer for War Raw. Check out this week's War Raw podcast right now. It's available to download on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts. War Raw. War Raw.
The Capitol Hill police officer who shot a protester on January 6th is finally identified.
Ashley Babbitt and others were attempting to get inside the Capitol building on that Wednesday afternoon in January. As she climbed up toward a broken section of the unguarded door, Babbitt was shot by an officer from inside the room, and she bled out. The U.S. Capitol police officer was a secret until now. He identified himself in a made-for-TV interview on NBC News.
I was taking a tactical stance. You're ultimately hoping that your commands will be complied with, and unfortunately, they were not.
U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd was wearing a face mask when he said commands were given and claimed shots were fired before his fateful decision. Ashley's husband since 2019, Aaron Babbitt, on Newsmax TV.
He's more worried about COVID than shooting my wife. If this is a life or death situation, you're about to use your firearm, take your mask off. She could have been deaf. You never know. You have no idea.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
One Virginia school is taking action to prevent the further spread of COVID-19. Liberty University is moving all classes online between August 30th and September 10th. All large indoor gatherings won't be allowed during that time period as well. More than 120 students, along with almost three dozen faculty and staff, are dealing with the virus. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well-known author, investment banker, consumer advocate, analyst, trader. Chris Markowski is the watchdog on Wall Street.
You want answers?
Exposing the lies and myths that the big brokerage firms, the mainstream press, and the government are pushing to keep Americans away from financial freedom.
You can't handle the truth.
Bringing America the truth about what really happens in the financial world.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to indulge in fantasy, but in political and economic reality.
This is the Watchdog on Wall Street.
You know, this past week, I was delving back into Greek mythology and some ancient Greek plays. I do. I always go to the classics, ancient Rome, ancient Greece, and look to some of the writing from back then. Oftentimes because it's withstood the test of time. I have to talk about here on the program, talk about wisdom. And the fact that it is evasive in today's day and age, in many respects and in many different areas. But the interesting thing you read about mythology and you read some of these old plays, that it's always been evasive. Times change, but do they really? So, yeah, I was looking up a play, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later on in the program, about money, wealth, socialism, and I was going to see what the ancient Greeks thought about it. And, you know, I decided today on the program, I said it's going back from the past, because oftentimes, in my writing, many of the columns that I've written over the years, I've gone to some of these stories in an effort to help explain what's happening at that point in time. Back in January of 1999, I wrote a column entitled Icarus and the Stock Market. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Icarus, it's Icarus, a young boy who received a pair of wings. And these wings would allow him to fly. Now, before he takes off on his first flight, his father warns him, do not fly too high. Do not go too close to the sun. Your wings are going to catch fire, and you're going to crash, and you're going to die. And the boy does not heed his father's advice, and it doesn't work out too well for him at all. And again, at that point, I was talking about the dot-coms and the run-up in all the technology stocks. And, you know, check the date, January of 1999. I wasn't too popular on radio programs and television programs back then. I was the whipping boy. I was defying conventional wisdom, as we do here on the program, going against what everyone else is saying at that point in time. Back in March of 2008, I wrote a column entitled, How to Kill a Hydra. But you know what a hydra is? A monster? It was basically a water snake dragon thing. It had multiple heads, poisonous blood. Its breath was poisonous. And the hydra guarded the passage to the underworld. Now, when someone wanted to go and try to kill the hydra, and actually was lucky enough to sever one of the heads of the hydra, another two grew back. Uh-oh, that wasn't good. But anyway, eventually Hercules and his cousin figured it out. After they chopped a head off, they burned the stump. And that article I was talking about, all of the exercises in futility that were taking place by the Wizards of Smart in Washington, D.C., the Treasury, you name it, all trying to fix what was going on in the financial system at that point in time. We'll fix it. Yeah, all the king's horses and all the king's men. Hey, one of my favorite stories, because I oftentimes compare myself to this fella, is the story of Sisyphus. Now, Sisyphus was the founder and king of Corinth.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, folks. Well, you know that music, and sometimes it means that we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here.
Welcome to Random Walk. I'm Roz Davis.
I'm Victoria Davis.
And it's time for another lovely show where we randomly walk all over the place. Today, we're going to talk about tips for better personal and small business finance practices.
Yes. Yeah, that's our lead story tonight. Plus, we'll have a Jeopardy update. And we have some space. We have space cases. We will be totally spaced out because there's three different
there's
space
three cases.
Cases
tonight. Yes.
And you actually found a mocktail that looks really delicious for me. You didn't even.
It's rare, refreshing.
Oh, awesome! It looks like stuff that you could probably get. Some of it you could probably get from a farm stand. At least the cucumber part.
I think so, and the cucumbers are in at the local farm stands.
Yum, so yum. Good. Yep. And of course, maybe we'll hear from the calendar, too. So let's take a brief break, and we'll be back with some tips for better personal and small business finance practices.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okie dokie, we're back here on Random Walk tonight, and we're going to talk about some tips for better personal and small business finance practices. And this is actually taken from a talk that I still do. I haven't had much call to do it, but have done in the past. And I find that this stuff is really important. It's from, you know, I'm in business as a bookkeeper,
right?
And I go around helping all different size businesses because I have some ones that have a lot of revenue. I have some ones that have barely any revenue. I have lots of a couple of nonprofits. So I get to see a lot of different ways of doing business. So
right. You can tell people the name of your business.
I can. It's called Have Adding Machine Will Travel. And it is a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, a proud member thereof. And you can actually find it listed on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce website with all the other member businesses.
Yeah, and as your name implies, you actually travel to your clients to help them with their bookkeeping needs.
That's true. And although we are in the age of a pandemic and say that Have Adding Machine will personally, will physically distance from you, I do that too. So I do some personal, some virtual appointments as well. But yeah, my main thing is because there's a lot of virtual bookkeepers out there. So a lot of times you need somebody who's going to actually come take a look at your stuff and tell you what they think and get it organized, get it reconciled, help you get it filed in the right drawer. I mean, that's part of the service. We get that. I get that done for you. So it's something for people who need to, you can ask questions to somebody face-to-face. It's a good thing. So anyway, I'll get us started. The modern world is geared to divorce you from your money.
That is true.
It is. It really is. You get less connected to your cash. But you and your cash can reconcile if you mentally take ownership of your assets. Here are some tips to help. Keep your business and personal finances separate. Here, let me, that's the first sentence of this paragraph. I'm going to read that again. Mm-hmm. So you're not hearing things twice. I'm reading it a second time. Keep your business and personal finances separate.
You can't emphasize that enough.
I cannot. I've seen some stuff. It tends, most people have a little bit of leakage. Like they're at the emergency all-night vet and they brought the wrong credit card with them. So they're charging up the emergency appointment to the vet on the business credit card. Or they're out at the business dinner and they accidentally left the business credit card at home, so now they're charging it to their personal one. There's sometimes some stuff that gets unclean, but try and keep it. I think I'm going to probably go into it in the next sentence, but try to keep those things as separate as possible. Myself, I like to have like a wallet that has two sides, and you know, like business is right side, personal is left side. Something like really that simple, where it's very divided. Open separate bank accounts and credit cards if they're both listed as personal accounts, and that's something you take up with your bank. If you cannot, so even if you haven't gotten to the point where you have your EIN number with the government or you haven't filed for your LLC yet, you're still waiting on that, you can go to the bank and just
open a separate.
So just
have a personal credit card that you only use for business purchases.
Exactly.
So you're a small business, maybe you're consulting, and you really don't need your own business credit card. Just take a personal credit card and just dedicate it to your business expenses.
Yes, yes. You don't have to, because your business might not have enough track record or enough financials to actually get you a credit card. So just get a personal credit card, keep it on the side of your wallet that's for business only. and that way all those expenses are there. If you cannot or you prefer not to open separate credit card just for business, get a debit card from your business bank account or purchase a cash card to use. So you can actually do that as well if you just have minor expenses and you just need to keep that. That's also a good way to keep things in budget. Banking online? Start an email account just for your finances. On your computer, set up email folders for your bank notices, credit card notices, business receipts, and personal receipts. In your file manager, set up computer files for the same. So do that. Schedule time each week to look at your finances and download files. Block time on your phone, or you can use Outlook or Google Calendar to help you keep the appointments. So give yourself reminders. You know, it's easy to get sidetracked, or you have a client who needs you, or you want to take that phone call, or you want to answer those emails, because those are important parts of your business, too. It's a good idea, though, to make sure that you have an actual scheduled appointment with your own finances and sit down and you look at them at that time. Take the receipts out of your wallet and put them into the file holder or categorize them or photograph them. Some of the newer programs, finance programs out there allow you to photograph them, and it can actually upload right into your expenses. So you can take time to do that. But make sure it's with all these easy things. I'm doing air quotes here, and we have the card up because it's been a very long week and a half. So you can't see my air quotes, but just take time to do that. Make a special space for that. Within this world where everything is supposed to be so easy and it's just at the tips of your fingers and you can do things with your phone that you couldn't have imagined 20 years ago, including take care of your personal finance on your phone, it's so easy to say, well, it's quick, it's easy, I'll do it all the time. You give it its own space. You will need to do that.
Make that commitment.
Yeah, make a commitment to it, because that's the most important. That's the heart of your finances.
Well, collecting the data and making sure the data gets in the right place is essential.
It is essential. You really don't have a business if you don't do that. And even if you're saying, hey, I'm not an entrepreneur like Victoria, that's okay. Even in your personal life, it's important, if you work for a company where you have to submit an expense report, mm-hmm. make time in your schedule to do that, to get those receipts together, to fill out the expense report, or to categorize your company credit card or whatever it is you need to do and submit that to your higher-ups if that's the case. So to give that and then take time for your own personal finances as well. Keep kicking it old school. Write stuff down, especially in your check register. So if you have the old-fashioned type check register, write it down. If you use something like an Excel spreadsheet, you can also type it in there. Take time, again, in your appointment time every week. Consider continuing paper statements. I know people look at me like I got two heads. I do care very, very much about the planet and the ecology thereof. But the thing is that one of the things, and it happens to me because I have a couple of my accounts, don't give paper statements, or it's very costly to get paper statements out of that particular financial institution. So what I do is I have a tendency to forget, even me, who, you know, reconciles their checkbook like within, 10, 15 minutes of getting the bank statement out of the mailbox. I actually forget the banks that don't send me statements, I actually forget that they exist. Or I'll go in there, well, I just reconciled this. When was the last time I reconciled? I find out that I have 3 months of statements in there. So continue them if you can, if they're not too costly. They can save you time, paper and ink. So that time it takes to log in and you forgot your password, you get locked out. That can make you lose interest.
Not only that, you're using toner and paper, your own toner and paper.
Exactly.
I look at it as the banks, the institutions, the cost of doing business. That's the way I look at it. And to your point, I do get, on the personal side, I get paper statements. On my business side, I get a lot of electronic statements. But, I do schedule a regular reconciliation of the account. And as you know, you know to go in there long and pull down the statement. But I find that getting paper statements, particularly on my personal account, forces me to, it's a reminder, it forces me to reconcile before I pay my bills.
That's true, too. I do that with my credit cards. I want them to tell me that I owe them money. If they come to your house regularly, you will not have to worry about forgetting to download them. Consider using duplicate checks. again, this is an extra expense, but I do have some customers who, if they didn't do duplicate checks, they just wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have anything.
Well, I'm considering duplicate checks because, you know, I'm looking, my wallet has fallen apart, but I have an old-timey wallet where I still keep my checkbook with me, and that includes the register, because there's no point in just putting your check packet in there without a register. You're going to forget the check. I know right now anymore I'm not going to remember who I wrote the check to. And so many wallets right now, I guess because people are going electronic, are not, they're leaving a place for a check, the checks, but not the register. And it right. doesn't really help me any, and I really need a new wallet like yesterday.
Yeah. And anymore, I actually end up photocopying my checks anyway. So mm-hmm. it's like, why not? And for some people, this really is an easier way to stay organized. If you have difficulty, if you lose things, you forget things, things get separated from you, having the duplicate checks is just an easier way to go. And if you're not going to keep a paper register, the duplicate check will help with that too. Yeah.
Because not only do I keep a paper register, I also keep my stuff in a Quicken.
Yeah, you use Quicken, which is good if you're a small business owner.
And as far as
owner.
My credit cards, I do log them in on an Excel spreadsheet where I have a monthly budget.
Right.
And this is on my personal side and my business side. I have, you know, a column for my business credit card because I do have a dedicated business credit card that is a personal card but dedicated for business. And then I have my personal card. And then I literally log everything in so I can make sure I stay within my monthly budget. I only charge up so much per month unless there's a special project.
Right. Consider using, yes, duplicate checks. Try an accordion file or a file crate to store documents. They help. Choose and use an accounting system. For personal finance, many folks like Quicken. But options like the cloud-based Mint, which is made by Intuit, same people as QuickBooks, are also available. Dome Finance makes a personal finance book, and Excel has free pre-made spreadsheets that you can download from the new screen. So when you go to start a new spreadsheet, you can just click new and type in what you want, you know, say budget spreadsheet. And it will they'll give you examples. You click on a thumbnail that you like, you download it, and it's there, ready to go, even with the formulas in it. For business, most people prefer QuickBooks or QuickBooks Online, but there are many options, so you don't have to just go with the most popular. There's things that might suit you better. Look for free trials and sample environments to explore which one might fit your needs best. If you need a CRM or a customer resource management tool for a specific industry, check with your personal, your professional association for recommendations, because that's going to be different for lawyers, from the Chamber of Commerce, from the machine shop. You're right. They might need to know like how many chainsaws and stuff you have, or what kinds of equipment. You know, if you're a race car driver versus a somebody who has a lathe and needs parts for it. Yeah. No matter what system you are using, reconcile it. Everybody makes mistakes, including banks. I've seen a couple of where I think one person who hired me, unfortunately, their person who was handling their finance passed away, and about 18 months later, they realized they needed somebody to help them. And by that time, we'd gone through, had to go through about 18 months worth of bank statements. And we found several mistakes, and they're worth probably a couple $100s. So it's important. It's also important, even if you have the kind of, I mentioned QuickBooks Online, but there's a couple of these systems where you can set them to automatically download your transactions. And if you do that, yeah. You still need to reconcile them because that is not perfect. You can get duplicate transactions in there and things can get missed and connections do break down. So again, you still have to reconcile it. Take time to periodically compare your bank book to your bank statement. Attach your receipts to the credit card statement. It may take time, but it can save you money. Look at your bank receipt before leaving the bank window. I know, crazy, right? And I sometimes I forget to do it. These days, well, a lot of people use their phones to take a picture of their check.
Right.
If they're still receiving checks, or a lot of businesses will have various, I know QuickBooks has it, and a couple other there's a couple of platforms where people can pay you through the platform, and that's great for people, so you can have ACH. But if you're still going to the bank, you need to look down at your receipt. So look at your check before you put it in the machine, or look at your deposit slip before you hand it to them. When you get it back, flip it over, look at the where it was franked, and look and make sure that number is the same. It can happen where, especially in these days of optical scanning, you know, an S looks like a 2. You can get something that's wrong. We've even seen, like, utility companies cashing checks for the wrong amount because of the way the check was written out. It was a handwritten check, and it was basically they overpaid by $200, which became a credit, and they worked it off. But still, you don't want to be out the money if you didn't, you know. Look at your bank receipt. Yep. Not only can it save you money and costly mistakes, but also frustration when reconciling your bank account. There are some other smart things you should do. These can be particularly helpful if you are about to enter into a new business venture. Check your credit score. You should know what your access to credit is. Your bank or credit union can help with this. Some credit cards include it with your statement. I think that's on the American Express statement. It just comes there. Mm-hmm. Mint now does it too. Discover Card offers a free scorecard. And I think that's to everybody. You don't have to actually have a Discover card with them. It's creditscorecard.com. You're also going to want to check your actual credit report. They say you should do this a minimum of once a year.
You can also stagger it with a different.
Yeah, because there's three credit bureaus.
So you could do one, you know, every, you know, three times a year.
Yeah, if you want because you get it, because each of the three credit bureaus will give it to you
once a year.
Once a year for free. And so you can actually do it three times a year. That's a good way to check on fraud, make sure it doesn't happen. Check your credit report. The only right place to start is annualcreditreport.com, or you can also call their 800 number 1-877-322-8228. Pay down your credit cards as aggressively as possible. I had a customer who did this, and it really increased her access to credit. She was much happier. Start with the highest interest rate one and pay it off. Just get it paid off. Then work on the one with the next highest interest rate. So get as much as you can. Of course, make sure you're making at least the minimum payment on all of them all the time in a timely fashion. But get it paid down. That way you're not, you know, basically charging up your customer materials at, you know, paying 18% for your customer materials, which, you know, could be really, or higher, which could be really difficult for you. Consider using allowance or prepaid cards to help you stay on budget. So if that's been a difficulty that you've had, you can try using some prepaid cards for a while. You could use the American Express Green Card, which is a charge card. You cannot roll it over to the next month. There's no carrying over that balance or in whole or in part. So you can do that as a way to help you stay on budget. And I hear that helps you build credit in that particular case. Just give yourself an allowance. If you do a lot of things with cash, just start the day with, okay, you know that you use an average, say, $200. Say you're a landscaper and you use $200 a week of just incidentals. Take $200 out of the checking account on Monday. Don't go back to your checking account until next Monday, and that'll help you control costs.
I used to do that. I used to give myself an allowance of $60 a week.
And yeah.
Go like on every Thursday, go get my $60 out. You know, if I didn't use it, I would let it roll over to the next week. Or say I didn't use $40 of it, or I used $20. I would just replenish up to the $60.
That's great. Read things before you sign them or click agree. If you do this, tell me how you get it done. But it's really hard. We're in a world where you're just constantly asked, do you agree to the terms and conditions?
Well, if you don't, then you don't move forward. So what do? You're between a rock and a hard place.
It is. But do read them so at least you know what you're signing up for. Particularly, people don't realize when you're signing a check that or you're signing a credit card receipt that what you are signing up for. So, and another important one, ask for help when you need it, be it going to a CPA to prepare your taxes or calling your bookkeeper, even if it's just to help you get back on track. And I know in my business that I will help you get on back. If your only thing is you're just behind, say, I don't know, maybe you had COVID and you're in bed for a couple of months and there's now a big pile of credit card receipts and a big pile of bank statements, and you've been out of commission and you need to get back to, you know, earning your living, you can call somebody like me and I will come over and help you get that done. So it's,
and it's not that expensive. It's just, you know, people pay for lawn mowing services, you know, and it's kind of like that, or yeah, housekeeping, or, you know.
Right. Yeah, it can be very similar to that. So, and the bill can be similar to that, sometimes cheaper. So absolutely. And I know what you spend, so ha-ha. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're going to take a quick break, and we'll
then
be
we'll
back.
Gossip about Jeopardy.
Yay, gossip about Jeopardy.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Okay, we're back on Random Walk tonight, and it looks like
we're going to gossip about Jeopardy?
We're going to gossip about Jeopardy. We're going to get a little catty.
Well, you know, like, we started reporting on Jeopardy because, you know...
Well, we were big Alex Trebek fans.
We were, and we were watching Jeopardy, and... You know, we started this podcast after Alex had passed. I think he was 2 months gone already, or 6 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, and his final episodes had just aired.
Yeah, and so we started talking about them, because they were the final episodes. And then we started talking about the guest hosts, and who would succeed him, and thoughts on that. And I think we rated the guest hosts at one point. And, you know, we had found articles on those rating the guest hosts and kind of had a discussion. So, and then I think a couple of weeks ago we announced that Mike Richards was going to be the new host and Maya Bialik was going to be this, you know, the extra host for all the specials. And I think we kind of voiced our opinions about that at the time.
Yeah.
And then it sort of spiraled downward from there. So can I express my personal opinion?
By all means.
All right. And it's my personal opinion and by no means reflects anybody here at the chamber. But I didn't think Mike Richards was probably the right person, and I do feel like he did skew things in his favor, and I think there was a couple of people who would have been really good at the job and were offered it, and I'm just worried that the franchise is going to take a big hit, ultimately. So anyway, the unraveling saga surrounding who will succeed late Alex Trebek as host of the game show Jeopardy remains a never-ending fiasco. It's like high drama, and Alex was actually the opposite of high drama, and that's, I think, what I find most upsetting.
Yes. He always said it's all about the contestants.
Right. And that's just it, and I think a lot of the people that they picked, like, and again, game shows in general, right? Anymore,
right,
they stunt with somebody who's an actor on some sort of lame sitcom.
Right.
And these people are...
Or Joel McHale, but...
Like I said, from lame sitcoms.
He'd probably agree with you.
and they're actors, right? And they, so actors are usually about their ego and being the center of attention. That's what fuels them to become actors in the first place.
Mm.
You know, not really slamming on them, but I think I'm kind of stating, you know, somewhat of a fact.
Yeah, not like there are many fine actors, for example, Hunterdon County born and now resting in peace here, Peter Miller.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But their ego, my point is they're ego-driven, so they don't necessarily have the skills to be what is known as like a master of ceremonies type skill, an MC skill, mm-hmm. a skill that is usually comes out of broadcasting, because mm-hmm. people who interview or do broadcasting are used to being facilitators, not necessarily in the spotlight. So somebody who, like a lot of your old-timey game show hosts came from originally radio because there wasn't a television medium yet, and transferred into media. So there was a certain amount of gravitas that goes with it. So I think, like, while an Anderson Cooper would have never been picked permanently for the job, why he did such a good job at guest hosting mm-hmm. was because he's used to being a host and facilitating and asking questions and being a listener rather than being the center of attention. And he carried himself with a certain amount of gravitas. And I think all game show hosts, if you go back and you look at the older ones, from and take your pick of which decade, the 70s, somewhat the 80s, you know, definitely certainly the 50s and 60s, you will see that there's a certain amount of gravitas and a certain amount of facilitation that goes on. And it's almost like, you know, Alex Trebek transcended in the fact that he did come from a broadcasting background, a Canadian broadcasting background, and he transcended it and became famous in his own right because of his skill set of being a great host, a good MC, a facilitator, and not taking the spotlight. So when you take an actor and you pluck him down as a host, that might be good for gimmicks and because people are familiar with their faces, but they're not necessarily great hosts, because, you know, the attention, they want the attention, and the attention really needs to be on contestants. And particularly in Jeopardy, where it really is, you're talking about intellectualism and having, you know, there's a certain nerdiness to the contestants. Go back and yes. look at even the older series. I think they're picking, like, slightly slicker people now. But if you go back and you look, it's you know, and I don't mean this as a slam or something bad, but it is kind of a bit of a nerd fest, and it's meant to be, because there has to be a place for people who are intellectual and smart and care about facts and learning over, you know, they care about the steak more about the sizzle in life. And there has to be a place for people who care about the steak over the sizzle. There just has to be a respite for those people. And Jeopardy was one of those places. And I think they're gonna muff this up. But anyway, that, once again, my opinion doesn't necessarily reflect on anybody else here at the chamber. But that is my feeling. So, high drama, basically anyone who takes the post is setting themselves up for failure, including the interim host, Maya Bialik, who, you know, doesn't come without any taint on her herself.
Right.
Because of, well, once again, she's an actress, so, you know, ergo my right. mini rant just now.
Right.
But also, yeah, she's been known to be against certain things that may or may not become an issue. So we'll see. The fall of Mike Richards, still an executive producer on the show, but for how long, I ask? as a very short-lived host, has been swift. He only really worked one day, which is five shows, which is 1 week. With the executive producer firing himself from the show after past allegations of harassment and racism surfaced. In a new report out of the Daily Beast, some former champions are saying that Richards intentionally sabotaged the show.
Ooh.
And I'd heard this along the way before he even was picked and before he was even he fired himself. So it's like looking at yourself in the mirror and shooting yourself in the face. You couldn't intentionally sabotage the show worse than this, 11-time champion Arthur Chu said. Chu described Richards as another problematic showbiz guy with a very well-paying job behind the camera. Jeopardy alumna Annika Garcia told the Daily Beast that Richards getting to take on hosting duties was merely about a show business guy getting to do what he wants instead of actually finding the best person to replace Trebek. Well, one of the things that I don't think was a well-known fact is that, yes, Mike Richards had been the executive producer on The Price is Right, but he had actually, before
becoming the executive producer.
Before becoming the executive producer and before Drew Carey was picked to succeed Bob Barker, Mike Richards had wanted that job and I think auditioned for it or whatever. And he didn't get it, but they ended up hiring him as the executive producer.
Right.
So I do think he had like an agenda of getting on like a legacy game show and being the host of one. I think that was definitely on his list of things to do.
Well, if he can embarrass Joel McHale, maybe he can get on Card Sharks.
There you go. I think he even like hosted like a version of, I can't remember if it was Card Sharks or some revival.
He did something or something similar.
So yeah, well maybe Joel McHale will want to, you know, I don't know,
take some time off.
Yeah. Five-time champion Kristen Salsville said, "I think the main feeling of community right now is betrayed." When her episodes first aired and the positive feedback began rolling in, Garcia told the Daily Beast she felt so validated for being a nerd my whole life and making something good out of that, the story read. After the Richardson news, it was like, oh, wait, just kidding. And again, I think that goes to my point about there needs to be a place for where people who believe in the steak and not necessarily the sizzle to go. And, you know, like they think that's why I oppose Aaron Rodgers being the host of Jeopardy, because he wanted to, like, be it to be less nerdy almost, and I don't agree with him besides the fact that him having a personality of a pizza box when he's on a game show.
Well, you know, I mean, I'd like to see football be less sportsy.
Yeah.
I like, you know, maybe they could just, you know, skip down the field. You know, they get trained in ballet anyway. Maybe they can do a better sideline dance.
Be
I don't
know. More nerdy about their sports.
There you go. Sure. Like, they can quote stats. As soon as they put the ball down, they can quote how many touchdowns that's been for them, you know?
Saucerville feels that Richard's misogynistic comments could have had a chilling effect on the future of the show. Jeopardy was a show where pretty much all of us had been wanting to be on for our entire lives, Saucerville said. We trusted when we showed up on the set that we were going to be treated as equal and treated with respect, and we were. Ahead of Richard's firing, a Ringer report shed light on a sexist and offensive comment Richard's made towards female co-hosts, as well as racist remarks while hosting the podcast, The Random Show, in 2013 and 2014. Richard's later apologized, and the podcasts were taken down. I will say in the defense of this that if you put a microphone in front of somebody, sooner or later they are going to say something silly or stupid, and I know I am definitely...
must have been guilty of that at some point.
I have to be after 40 years of having a microphone in one's face. I'm sure I've said plenty of things that could be taken out of context, and the world has changed in the last 5 years, so just like keep that in mind. But it doesn't negate the fact that he also had those lawsuits against him as executive producer of The Price is Right.
It really doesn't help.
The podcast was intended to be a series of irreverent conversations between longtime friends who had a history of joking around. Even with the passage of time, it's more clear that my attempts to be funny and provocative were not acceptable, and I've removed the episodes, Richard said in a statement at the time. Also, podcasts were a nerdy thing to do back in 2013 and 2014.
They've
exploded to quite huge popularity
now. It's its own medium. I mean, it was kind of always its own medium, but now it's an actual medium.
It's an actual real medium.
It's like the sixth or seventh estate or whatever. You know.
Everybody has a podcast. We're not unique anymore.
No. But thank you for listening to ours.
Yeah, thank you. People don't realize Chu said that the behind-the-scenes stuff is just as important as the on-camera stuff. So I am just worried that the franchise is going to, you know, be damaged because of all this nonsense. And it's like, it's about the questions, people. Like, you know, who is a good Jeopardy host? Answer that question.
Yes.
So, or provide an answer for that question.
Yes.
I don't know.
They weren't asking the right questions, because Jeopardy is all about asking the right questions.
That is
it?
True. So I just hope they you know, get more knowledgeable and pick a good host. And again, a good host is somebody who's not the center of attention but can facilitate. Anyway, we've got 3 space cases coming our way.
Okay.
Did you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's just take a quick one.
All right.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
All right, we're back tonight.
Yeah, so we have 3 different space stories. One is about European applicants who want to be astronauts.
Okay.
Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos' feud. And I thought that was kind of gossipy, so I wanted to talk about galaxies. And actually, galaxies are actually, I guess, the universe's filter or something. So we can talk about that a little bit.
All right.
There's like some scrubbing going on in the galaxy.
Oh,
so,
maybe it's all scrubbing bubbles. It's just a big universe of scrubbing bubbles.
Things go out and go into a galaxy, they come out cleaner. So make of that what you will. Maybe there's some cosmos, more ethereal thing we can, philosophical thing we can glean from that, but we can discuss. So go on, Victoria. Talk about the European applications overwhelming the space agency in Europe.
Wow. Record high astronaut applications overwhelm European space agency. Space.com reports thousands of would-be space travelers hoping to be among the next generation of astronauts to fly with the European Space Agency.
I didn't know there was actually one. I guess there is.
It makes total sense.
It does.
It does. We'll have to wait until at least November to find out if they've got the right stuff after a flood of applicants. Agency officials have said applications for ESA's astronaut corps and a new program for para-astronauts with physical disabilities closed on June 18th, but potential candidates are being asked for their patients as the number of applicants widely exceeded the space agency's initial expectations. Crazy.
I didn't know that there's Europeans who want to go into space. I mean, I guess I just don't think about that. So it's nice to actually ponder that there's Europeans who want to go up into the stars, too. It's not just limited to certain countries. I don't know.
We always think about it. Because it was always about us and the cosmonauts for so long, and then you're kind of like aware that China has a space program. You never thought about, Europe's got a space program, too. And there's probably countries all over the world.
India has a space program, don't they?
I believe they do.
Yeah. To your point, for us, it was either us or the Soviets at the time before the wall fell. And then China. Yeah, we're aware of China. But I just don't think of other countries getting into the game, but now they are.
Apparently. Everybody wants to get into the game. And I was having a conversation with somebody over the weekend, and they were mentioning their early interest in space, which is not unusual for our generation or the generation before us. He said, it's crazy because now, there might, back then it was a very, very narrow funnel to get through, to get into a space program and work.
You'd have been a fighter pilot to be considered
an astronaut. Yeah. And even just to work for NASA.
Right.
You would have had some kind of serious background. And they had, they culled a lot, the many were called, few were chosen. So now there's going to be agencies all over the world wanting to utilize space. There's going to be there's three major private companies. There's probably going to be more coming out, just like the internet. They stay with three internet companies. We have tons and tons of them. There's going to be all the support that goes into it. We were talking about Ball Aerospace the other night. The people who make your canning jars also make rocket ship parts. So it's crazy. Heat shield parts, I believe. And it's crazy that there's going to be a lot of people who can now get into space in some way. Maybe not necessarily as astronauts or power astronauts, but possibly just be in the space business, which is just kind of cool. And perhaps they'll need some accounting on other planets. You don't know that. Having a machine will travel, might need to get a rocket ship at some point.
You never know. You might have to do some books on Mars.
That's right. Books on Mars.
Well, anyway.
Yes. So at ESA, we firmly believe that every application should receive the attention it deserves. With a considerable number of applicants, it simply takes more time than initially foreseen. Guillaume Wirtz, the head of space medicine at ESA's European Astronaut Center, said in a statement, upon completion of the pre-screening stage, we found some applicants did not fulfill the requirements stated in the application document, and these applicants were notified immediately. Antonella Costa, human resources business partner at ESA, said in a statement, however, more than 80% of all remaining eligible applicants are still under review. Although an exact notification date on application outcomes has not been set, ESA estimates that applicants will be informed by the end of November at the latest. If you have not yet been invited, it does not necessarily mean that your application has not been being considered. We ask for your patience, and as we process applications and issue these invitations, Costa added. Of those 23,000 applicants, only 1,500 candidates will be invited to the second stage of the selection process. So again, many
fewer will be chosen.
Yes, which involves a full day of testing at one of ESA's facilities in Europe. However, due to COVID-19 travel restrictions, applicants are being invited progressively until the end of the year. All in all, there are six key stages in the process to be selected to be one of ESA's astronauts, which are designed to evaluate applicants' cognitive and physical abilities. After being successful in the initial screening process, successful candidates will go through three practical testing phases and then two rounds of interviews before finally being selected as astronauts, a process that will conclude in mid to late 2022.
So there you go. I just didn't know that it's this formal that Europe is that serious about space. Wow. I just didn't think about it. I guess it was there, but I just didn't think about it. So now enlightened.
So there can be Italians in space. There can be French people in space. There can be Germans in space. Sounds good.
That sounds good.
There could be Belgians in space. That would be great. I think everybody wants the Belgians to get to space.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Well, people who have been to space, well, not and back, at least Jeff Bezos has, but Elon Musk says Jeff Bezos retired to pursue a full-time job filing lawsuits against SpaceX.
Ouch!
Which I thought that was a fairly good snark, I have to admit.
Yeah, as snarky people.
Yes.
As professional snarkers, we can say, yes, good one, Elon Musk.
High scores on that one, Elon. Yeah. After Amazon protested Starlink expansion. According to Business Insider, Elon Musk on Friday took a jab at Jeff Bezos after an Amazon subsidiary protested SpaceX plans for more Starlink satellites. Because apparently they protested him being the only supplier or vendor for the moon rover, the next moon rover. Right. Musk, SpaceX's CXO, tweeted that Bezos, Amazon's founder and executive chairman, had retired in order to pursue a full-time job filing lawsuits against SpaceX. Must misspell Bezos' name as with an S instead of a Z. Bezos stepped down as Amazon CEO in July. Musk's tweet was in response to an article about Kuiper, Amazon satellite internet subsidiary, filing a protest letter to the Federal Communications Commission on Wednesday about SpaceX's plans to expand its Starlink network of internet satellites. SpaceX has proposed sending nearly 30,000 satellites into orbit. That's a lot of space junk.
That is a lot of space junk.
For its second-generation Starlink, adding to its 1,740 satellites already in space. That's a lot of satellites, too. Did not know.
That is a lot.
Aren't they going to bump into each other or interfere with one another?
I don't know. I don't know how that all works.
Kuiper said in a letter that SpaceX broke the rules by proposing two configurations for satellite constellation rather than just one. SpaceX had said the second proposal was a backup in case the FCC rejected the first. SpaceX's novel approach of applying for two mutually exclusive configurations is at odds with both the commission's rules and public policy. Mariah Dodson-Schumann, Kuiper's corporate counsel, wrote in a letter to the FCC. The letter is not a lawsuit. This isn't the first time one of Bezos' companies has argued against SpaceX. Earlier this year, Blue Origin's Bezos Rocket Company filed a complaint against NASA and sued the agency over awarding SpaceX a $2.9 billion contract to send humans to the moon. That's what I was talking about before. NASA said it put SpaceX's contract on pause so it can assess the suit. The two billionaires have been known for making digs at each other. Musk has called Bezos a copycat and mocked Blue Origin space flights and moon lander. After SpaceX won the NASA contract, Blue Origin posted infographics on its website that appear to contrast its Blue Moon lunar lander and SpaceX's immensely complex and high-risk Starship, insider Morgan McFall Johnson reported. So they'll probably feud for, like, ever.
Yeah, yeah, it will be a true Star Wars,
apparently. So, as we pointed out earlier in our podcast, that we're covering space because it's an emergent business, and being that we're from the Chamber of Commerce, that it's important to cover an emergent business. We're watching a whole new industry like be born right in front of us, much like the internet was born in front of us in the 90s, much like personal computers were born in front of us in the 80s. So, late 70s and early 80s. So here we go. Once again, we get to watch the birth of yet another industry come to light. So I thought that is a good thing to cover.
It is a good thing to cover. It is a whole new form of commerce.
Despite how nasty and petty it can actually get at times.
That's true. And someday there will be a space chamber of commerce.
That's right. I propose, why don't we start a space chamber of commerce?
I think it's there. I think we got to do it. That way people can get together, network, know what each other's working on, and work cooperatively and more fruitfully together.
So we did a third story.
Yes.
After all, after that catty story.
You need a little palate cleanser,
right,
don't
you? Right, we need to cleanse our mind as well as the universe of, yes, exactly. So what flows into a galaxy cleaner than what flows out? From Earth and Sky, on August 30th, 2021, astronomers Astronomers described a process by which clouds of pure hydrogen and helium gas are pulled into galaxies to be used in making new stars. The stars convert those very simple elements, hydrogen and helium, into more complex elements, including oxygen, carbon, and iron. And then the galaxies pump this exhaust, as astronomers call it, out again into intergalactic space. Supernova explosions cause most of the outward flow. There's a video that they had in this story that basically illustrates the process, showing an artist's concept of the galaxy MRK-1486, which is going through a period of a very rapid star formation. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
They're witnessing, just like we're watching the birth of the space industry. They're watching the birth of a star. So it shows material released from stars via supernova laden with elements like oxygen and iron suffusing out of the galaxy. In other words, these astronomers said what flows into a galaxy is a lot cleaner than what flows out. Space junk. Astronomers Alex Cameron and Deanne Fisher of Astro 3D in Australia, a consortium of 9 Australian universities plus international partners, led this research. The team used a new piece of equipment called the Keck Cosmic Web Imager at WM Keck Observatory in Hawaii. The peer-reviewed astrophysical journal letters published in the new work on August 30th, which was yesterday.
Wow.
So it's much the same story we've known for decades. It's about elements being forged inside stars and then released via supernovae. We are star stuff, right? But this story focuses on the processes that occur galaxy-wide. So, again, they're finding out it's kind of common.
Yes.
Astronomers describe the process of atoms flooding into galaxies as accretion.
Yes.
They use the word outflow for the eventual expulsion of atoms from galaxies. Until now, these astronomers said they could only guess at the composition of this inward and outward flow of material. Yet accretion and outflow are vital processes within galaxies. They govern the growth, mass, and size of galaxies, and so astronomers want to understand them. In this new research, for the first time, astronomers were able to confirm the full cycle in a galaxy other than our home galaxy, the Milky Way. MRK-1486 is perfect for study. The researchers studied the star-forming galaxy, and Alex Cameron said, "We found that there is a clear structure of how gases enter and exit." Imagine the galaxy is a spinning frisbee. The gas enters relatively unpolluted from the cosmos outside around the perimeter and then condenses to form new stars. When those stars later explode, they push out other gas, now containing these other elements through the top and bottom. MRK-1486 was the perfect candidate for observation, these astronomers said, because it lies edge on to Earth, and that means the astronomers could see the outflowing gas more easily than if, for example, they were looking at a face-on galaxy. Deanne Fisher added, "This work is important for astronomers because of the first time we've been able to put limits on the forces that strongly influence how galaxies make stars. It takes us one step closer to understanding how and why galaxies look the way we do and how long they will last." Bottom line, for the first time, astronomers were able to measure the inflow of hydrogen and helium atoms and the outflow of more complex atoms in a galaxy other than our own, the Milky Way. I guess there's another bottom line. There's 2 bottom lines here.
Wow.
Pure hydrogen and helium gas flows into a galaxy. It's used to make new stars. Those stars make new elements, which are later released back into intergalactic space. Wow. So basically, they're just figuring out how the galaxy functions.
Wow, that's amazing. So it does inhale and exhale.
It does, apparently.
That's interesting. That's something new.
Again, that was from Earth and Sky.
It is. Earth and Sky was a wonderful little... Before there's podcasts, there's these little things that they used to send to radio stations. Usually there was a nonprofit behind them. And you could actually play these little announcements throughout your day.
And they had the one for every day of the month, Earth and Sky.
Yes. And they'd send you a new CD every month, and you'd pop it in your CD player and
play it.
Play that particular day. And it was great. It was like a cute little feature. And we liked it.
Anyway, I don't know if you're up to a break, but I know mocktails are next.
Mocktails are next. Do we need a palate cleanser?
No, I think we should just do a mocktail.
Let's just do a mocktail because I can use a drink, but this one doesn't have any alcohol in it, so that's healthy. And helps.
I picked this one because I thought it was refreshing. You mentioned that, you know, it involves a cucumber, so they're on the farm stands right now.
That is true. They are. So you can head on out to the farm stand when this podcast is over. This is a virgin cucumber gimlet. Mm-hmm. And this is composed of 1.5 ounces of club soda, 1.5 ounces of club soda. That's it. 4 to 5 slices of muddled cucumber. 1 ounce of fresh lime juice and 1 ounce of simple syrup. Simple syrup is, of course, called simple syrup because it's a one-to-one relationship of water to sugar.
White sugar.
White sugar, that's right.
Although white granulated sugar, or it can be what?
Yeah, it could be. You could probably use some of the other ones like
sugar cream. In the raw. You wouldn't necessarily do that. Yeah. You kind of want it to have a certain.
You want it to just basically be clear be liquid heavy. When you're
clear
done.
Liquid when you pour it out.
Yeah, so you get yeah. So you add your sugar into your water. You stir it up. You heat the water to boiling. You give it another stir. You let it cool down. Simple syrup, not too hard. Or you can just buy it in a bottle at the store.
You can do that too.
Instructions: you combine all ingredients and shake with ice. So put them all in your shaker. Your 1.5 ounces of club soda. Your 4 to 5 ounces. Your 4 to 5 slices of cucumber. You can throw them in the shaker and muddle them. You probably should probably start with the cucumber. So you got start with an empty shaker. Throw your cucumber in there. Your 4 to 5 slices. Get your muddler out. Use a nice muddler. I know you can. They say you can use a wooden spoon, but when you're working with a cucumber, you're going to probably hurt yourself. So just go ahead, purchase the muddler. It'll pay you back in all the great mocktails and cocktails that you will enjoy. Get the nice stainless steel one and just mash down, dishwasher safe, mash down on that cucumber. Add your 1.5 ounces of club soda and 1 ounce of fresh lime juice and 1 ounce of simple syrup.
Don't forget your ice.
Don't forget your ice.
Put it in after you muddle your cucumber.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Give it a good old shake and serve in a rocks glass. Well,
you're going to want to strain it, too.
You're going to want to strain that. That's right.
Because you have cucumber bits.
That's right. So serve in a rocks glass over crushed ice and garnish with a rolled cucumber slice. Or you could just probably just take a wheel of cucumber and put it on the edge.
Yeah.
So enjoy responsibly because it is a cucumber drink. Cucumbers are good for you.
They are. Well, we're up to the calendar section, and just to let you know, Hunter County will host a 20th anniversary 9/11 remembrance event at the historic courthouse steps at 75 Main Street in Flemington at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, September 11th. Hunter County first responders who were called into emergency service at the site of the attacks will be honored. So for more information, I think you can go to the county sheriff's website. So it's the county website, but the sheriff, under the sheriff portion.
Yeah.
I didn't put the actual website here. But again, 9/11 remembrance on the courthouse steps, the historic courthouse, the white one on Main Street.
The big white one on Main Street with the big columns.
Right.
Not to be confused with the yellow house with the big white columns.
No.
Or the other yellow house with the smaller white columns.
Right. That would be the Dork House.
Yes. There you go. At Music Mountain Theater, the musical Carousel about brash carousel barker Billy Bigelow and a quiet mill worker, Julie Jordan, who fall in love, marry, and live out a stormy life in New England that leads to tragedy and attempt at mending old wounds from beyond the grave, will apparently be staged September 3rd and 4th at 8 p.m., and 4th and 5th at 3 p.m.
Yeah, matinees on the weekend.
Yeah, there's matinees on the weekend. For tickets, go to musicmountaintheater.org, and they are a member of the chamber.
Peddler's Village in Lahaska, Murder Mystery Outdoor Theater, Murder at the Moulin Saturdays through September 25th. The combining members of Moulin Blue will stop at nothing to save their struggling business. Keep your eyes open for hidden clues and mimes.
Yeah, they're not memes, they're mimes.
You could do memes about mimes.
You could.
Yeah, they'd be very quiet memes.
Yeah. Well, we don't have the cameras on today, but it could be like when you realize you're walking into wind.
Yeah, something like that. And mimes in this laugh out loud whodunit. There's a cash bar, ages 18 plus, reservations are required. For more information and to purchase tickets, you can go to peddlersvillage.com.
At Duke Farms, you'll find over 1,000 acres of land to explore, native species, sustainability efforts, and the area's natural beauty. Hours at Duke Farms are Tuesday through Saturday from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trails are open, buildings are closed. The bike share program and outdoor cafe are open, weather permitting. Orientation center is closed. The Orchid Range is open, which is very cool, by the way. Saturday, visitors will need to reserve a free entry pass per car. To reserve a pass for more information, go to dukefarms.org.
Juniper Hill Farmers Market, located at 73 Beaver Avenue in Annandale, every Thursday from 4 to 7 through November. There will be acoustic music and cold drinks flowing from the bar, so sip, shop, and support local.
That's right. Buy local, buy Hunterdon. Hunterdon Land Trust Farmers Market is open every Sunday through November 21st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the DeVore Farm, 111 Mine Street in Flemington. Vendors offer an array of organic produce, all-natural beef, chicken, and pork, fresh-baked breads, cave-ripened cheeses, honey pie, native plants, fresh-cut flowers, locally roasted coffee, milk, and more. The Hunterdon Land Trust plans to welcome the return of music, yoga, and programming during the market season. Shoppers should check hunterdonlandtrust.org for the latest information.
And that wraps it up for tonight on Random Walk. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully we'll be back next week at 5 p.m. on Tuesday night. We wish you a good week. If you would like to be on Random Walk, we do interview people from time to time. You can drop us a line at, what's our email address?
It's randomwalkhunterdon.
randomwalkhunterdon@gmail.com. So once again, randomwalkhunterdon@gmail.com.
You can also message us at this page if you're watching on Facebook.
So good night, everyone, and have a great week.
See ya.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
National security officials are warning President Biden that another terrorist attack in Kabul, Afghanistan, is likely. The attacks again could be carried out by ISIS-K terrorists. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the Speaker of the House needs to call Congress back into session now. McCarthy criticizing the Biden administration's execution of withdrawing American troops and vulnerable citizens from Afghanistan.
This isn't the tested leadership the president promised. It's a picture of weakness and incompetence.
McCarthy also calling out President Biden for dodging important questions. The California Republican also calling the ISIS-K terrorist attack in Kabul a serious transgression.
Our enemies have taken advantage of this chaotic nature of a withdrawal. And yesterday, they crossed the red line.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epic Times keep truth alive.
Florida schools can impose mask mandates, a judge ruled, saying Governor Ron DeSantis overstepped his authority in banning mask requirements. This as health officials are pleading with the public in Hawaii to get COVID vaccines to help stop the spread of the disease. Dr. Gerard Aka is with the Queens Medical Center in Honolulu.
What we're speaking about for vaccinations is if Hawaiians can get more vaccinated, then maybe the case rate and infection can get lower. The deaths, the hospitalizations and ER visits with the vaccinations can get to a better place. That's our plea.
Earlier this week, the governor of Hawaii asked that travelers stay away from the state right now while they try to combat rising cases related to the Delta variant. Yesterday, there were 99 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 2 deaths. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot. If you like my radio show, you're going to love my podcast, War Raw. Each podcast, I present my top 10 most outrageous, salacious, and controversial stories of the week. I break down the best of the best raw truth stories for conservatives, libertarians, patriots, taxpayers, Trumpers, and deplorables.